I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from Crescent City Sports, Renee Nato. Renee, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Mike and Charlie, it's always great to be with you guys. How are you doing today, man?
Doing great. Renee, you would figure July 4th and LSU gets two verbal commitments for the class of 2026. The big guy, Bryson Cooley from West Jones High School in Laurel, Mississippi, the number two rated offensive lineman in Mississippi, which means that LSU has the two top rated offensive linemen from the state of Mississippi. Emmanuel Tucker had also verbally committed to LSU. So your thoughts, I'm a big believer and you got to win up front, got to win with the big guys. And Cooley was a big catch for them. A month ago, I'm not real sure they were that confident in getting him. But as the weeks went along, they felt really good. And, man, Coach Davis has done a fantastic job in recruiting offensive linemen.
You nailed that, Mike. Yeah, Bryson Cooley is big guy, 6'6", 315. Emmanuel Tucker is not quite as big. He's about 295. But, you know, you mentioned about up front, besides getting the two best offensive linemen out of Mississippi, of course, right now they have Tristan Key. He's the number one wide receiver in the Magnolia State and the top receiver in the class. But they also, LSU also reeled in the number one offensive lineman in the state in Bryston Martinez out of East Ascension. So they've got three really good offensive linemen, and they got a center from Warren Easton, Jalen Chapman. So they got three in the center. And Jalen Chapman is the best center in the state right now, and he's headed to the Tigers. But they've done a real good job. Brad Davis has done a great job identifying recruits and doing a good job of sealing the deal with them.
Yeah, and we'll wait. I think it's Thursday. That young man from U High, right on their campus, and I've told people I've watched him play. He, as a freshman, I think he'd be more ready as an offensive lineman than as a defensive lineman. But he wants to play defensive end, and so you know what? If that's what you want to do, I'll give you your first shot at it. And Renee, I think it's Thursday. He makes his commitment on the campus at University High.
He does, Mike, and you're right. And right now, he wants to be a two-way lineman in college. Besides LSU, they're fighting off Texas A&M might be the biggest culprit, Miami and Texas. But if you look back over the history, LSU has always done a good job of reeling in the number one prospect in the state. But if you go back to 2010, there's been four instances, and you guys will know all these people. Arch Manning in 2023, he was a number one prospect, goes to Texas. Devontae Smith in 2017 to Alabama, Landon Collins in 2012. And a guy you know well, Mike, Trevon Reed in 2010 went to Auburn. So on occasion, LSU will swing and miss with the top prospect in the state of Louisiana. But Lamar Brown is a guy they really want, they really need. And he's a guy that, as you said, he can play both sides of the ball and excel. He's the number one defensive tackle in the country right now.
You know, Renee, Mike always talks about that the recruiting and the commitments aren't worth the piece of paper that they're written on. But with Lamar Brown specifically, do you expect this to be he'll make the commitment, you know, within the next couple of weeks and then he'll stay committed or, you know, he might be flip-floppy or anything like that? Mike, I know that you had said that this could potentially last a few months and maybe into the winter even.
I will let Renee comment on it.
Well, I tell you, that's a good question. And the thing is, I guess nothing's final until the ink dries on a paper. But right now, I guess you'd have to take him on his word. If he puts whatever hat he puts on his head at the end of the week, it's going to be good. Hopefully his word is good. Who knows what's going to change? But I take you back to Bryce Underwood just a year or so ago. How things
yep.
changed so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to bring that up, Renee, that man, it's never over till it's over, especially for the top guys. And we know one thing, A&M signaled him out. They put the kind of bullseye, that's the guy we want to get out of the state of Louisiana. And they have put forth a lot of effort to try to recruit him there. Now, again, when he's in your backyard, basically, that's tough to lose. The out-of-state guys, I understand, because there's a lot of pressure for you to stay home a lot when you're the top guy on that list like Lamar is. But I think it's going to be quite a battle. And even though he'll announce his verbal commitment Thursday, I think this will kind of draw out. But he'll be taking visits and everything else. And we won't find out until actually signing day in December.
The thing is that he's made like 15 visits to Texas A&M.
God.
So he's made a lot. But, you know, look, I'll flip this. I'll flip it on you. Tristan Key is the number one prospect
yes.
out of Mississippi, and he's committed to LSU. I'm sure that that state and Ole Miss does not want to see him walk out of the Magnolia State. But right now, LSU has his commitment. Again, it's a temporary deal. We don't know what's going to happen, but Tristan Keyes right now is a Tiger.
Isaiah Washington, I've got to see him play. He played a lot of quarterback. Certainly, he's played in the secondary too. Also, a track sprinter. He's a young man that, Renee, I think, looking at the ratings, people have him as a three-star or whatever. But I think as it gets along and people take a longer look how good of an athlete that he can transition into the secondary very well, I think he could play as a slot corner or at free safety. You're talking about a guy here that probably in October would be a four-star recruit because so many people would be concentrated on him. And because he plays quarterback, that's not the position he's going to play at LSU.
And I'm going to point out two guys. I'm going to talk about Isaiah Washington, who you mentioned won a couple of state titles at Haynesville. He was a 300-meter and a 110-meter hurdles guy, a triple jumper. He played quarterback for Haynesville, but also throw in that same category, Dez Ellis out yep. of Winsboro, who LSU hasn't got a guy at a Winsboro of this magnitude since Booger McFarland. But keep this in mind. Dez Ellis plays quarterback at Winsboro. He was good enough to be offered by West Virginia, Rich Rodriguez, as a quarterback in this class, and he took the LSU offer as a cornerback. But he reminds me a little bit, maybe not exactly, but Dez Ellis reminds me a lot of a Corey Webster. As you both recall, played quarterback at St. James. He was a multi-type athlete. And Dez Ellis is very much measurables and everything, like a Corey Webster. But Isaiah Washington, Mike, as you alluded to, can be a very special three-star. He should go to a four-star soon.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Renee, looking at the MLB draft this upcoming weekend, you know, Kate Anderson's the number two overall prospect via MLB.com's big board. I just want to get your thoughts because the Washington Nationals have the number one overall pick this upcoming weekend on Sunday for the first round. And do you think he ends up being the number one pick? Like, Washington needs some pitching help, so he could be a fit there, especially because Kate Anderson's probably one of the most, if not the most, pro-ready prospect in the pool that we're looking at. And the former Tiger Southpaw, you know, he's got at least got his name in the mention for the number one overall pick. And just kind of a side note as well, with Washington firing their GM and their field manager a week before the draft is definitely fascinating. So nobody really knows what they're going to do, but it feels like Kate Anderson's definitely a safe pick for them.
Yeah, and he would be a solid pick. He led the nation in strikeouts, and he's really, really come on. And what a year he had at LSU for the national champions. And he would be a guy that maybe not in the Paul Skeens kind of same vein, but Kate Anderson as a guy has so much upside. And I think in a very short period of time, Kate Anderson could be a solid major league pitcher. And I think the fact that Washington fired their general manager and their manager, bench coach and manager, they know who's on the board and who they're looking at. So if they like Kate Anderson, like I'm sure they have to, Kate Anderson has to be among the top two or three prospects in the major league draft.
And then the other one, Anthony Ianson, kind of the second part of the two-headed monster that LSU baseball featured this past year. He's number 40 via MLB.com's big board. Now, the MLB draft is different than every other draft. They have 43 first-round picks when you throw in the comp picks and, you know, the competitive balance picks and all that other good stuff. So 43 first-round picks. Anthony Ianson could be one of those other LSU players with his name getting snuck into the first round.
Yeah, Charlie, you're right about that. What he did at LSU this past year, and when the game was on the line, he really came through. He was the next best thing behind Kate Anderson for LSU, and I think he really helped himself, and he pitched very well. And he's only getting better. And I think Ianson has probably worked himself into a first-round pick for the Tigers along with Kate Anderson this year.
Guys, I don't think anybody at the end of last season would have said Cade Anderson's going to be one of the top two players picked in the MLB draft, and Anthony Ianson would be a possible first-round pick.
Well, that's a
goes
great
to
point.
Show how good that Nate Yeske worked his staff.
Go
that's
ahead.
Unreal.
I was just going to say, with Cade Anderson, if he doesn't go number one to Washington, I have a hard time feeling that he's going to fall past the Angels with the second overall pick.
I agree.
And, Renee, I'm a big Astros fan, so I would hate to see Cade Anderson go to the Angels program. But the Angels are the type of team that they go for the more pro-ready prospect because they love rushing their guys through the minor leagues, especially those top picks. So, you know, maybe L.A. is not the worst potential landing spot for Anderson, but if, you know, the Washington Nationals are sitting there and say, we want Ethan Holliday, the high school prospect, at the number one overall pick, it's going to be hard for me to see Cade Anderson falling past number two.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing him fall to the Astros too, but I mean the fact that he's got a great career ahead of him.
Yeah, no question. With Holliday, that could be a signability deal because we've seen it before with them working kind of a deal ahead of time. And who's actually pulling the strings with the first overall pick? Okay, when you fire your manager and your general manager, yeah. Who's actually got the chalk in his hand and he's going to make that decision? I hope it ain't the owner, we'll see. Renee, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great to have you on, buddy. Thanks so much.
Always my pleasure, guys. Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
All right. Renee Nato from Crescent City Sports.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.